And so if you'll go with me to John chapter 14, the series that we're in today is, If You Love Me, Keep My Commandments. I'm not sure how many of you husbands have heard a phrase similar to that by, Honey, if you love me, you'll buy me some shoes, you'll buy me a dress, you'll take me out to eat. Honey, if you love me, you won't forget our anniversary. Anyway, if I got some of you in trouble because I just reminded your wives, I'm sorry. John chapter 14, verse 15. It's just one verse. You'll stand, I'll pray, and you may be seated. It says, If you love me, keep my commandments. In my Bible, I'm not sure about yours, but in my Bible, it's written in red, and these are the words of Jesus. If you love me, keep my commandments. Father, we thank you for your word. Again, God, Holy Spirit, give us revelation. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Holy Spirit, point areas in our lives that must change, that need to change, that we can take care of them and repent of them today. Father, I pray, Lord, that your word will reveal truth to us so that truth will make us free, God. No longer bound by sin, no longer bound by any shackles, Lord, of any bad habits or things that keep us from drawing closer to you. God, deliver us, set us free. Speak to us today that we'll be changed before we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. So, if you love me, keep my commandments. I want to focus on this word keep here because in the Greek, this word keep is tiros, and it means to guard from loss, to guard from losing it, from ever losing it. How many of you guys have that little loop on your belt loop where you put your keys? How many of you guys, come on, raise your hand. You have one of those loops, all right? I'm not trying to make fun of you, but you got those little loops and you have a little thing that your keys go on there. And because you don't like the way it feels in your pocket, but also so that you don't lose them. So you don't put them down somewhere and you don't forget them. But this word keep, it has so much of a deeper meaning that some of us in the past have used the word keep. Again, it says to guard from loss, to guard from injury, to guard so that I won't get injured. It says to keep his commandments, to guard, to properly keep with my eye on it. How many of you parents ever told your kid, I got my eye on you? Okay, I'm watching you. I'm looking. I'm watching you. And you're guarding your kid. But here Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And one of the references in my Bible, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That even says a little bit deeper, doesn't it? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Instead of just, you love me, keep my commandments. Either way, Jesus is telling us of something that is of great significance that we ought to do because we love him. Keep my commandments. Keep the commandments. We demonstrate by keeping him, we demonstrate our love for him. Like last week, Shannon said, not sure how many of you were convicted, but as she said last week, the fact that we are to keep his commandments. Were any of you convicted because you say you love Jesus, but yet you're really not keeping, you're not guarding, you're not holding on to, you're not keeping your eye on what he says? You may say you love Jesus with your mouth, but you realized in that service that your life and your life's choices don't. Maybe last week and maybe today, you'll be comforted because you are a child of God. You're surrendered to Jesus. Jesus is your Lord and Savior. And not only are your words saying, Jesus, I love you, but your actions demonstrate that. Now, I know there's none of us in this room that are perfect, that we always get everything right. But thanks be to God that we can go to him and say, oh God, I messed up, forgive me. 1 John 1:9, I've always said this, but this is one of my favorite scriptures. 1 John 1:9, that if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So I kind of like it because the fact that I picture in my head that the Lord Jesus, he has me in this bucket and he just dips me and I come back out. But then he just wipes anything else that might be on my shoulders, straightens my collar and says, you're good to go, son. Come on, let's keep walking. Because I go to him and I say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, help me. God, I need you. I'm dealing with this attitude. Lord, help me. And he helps me. So maybe last week and hopefully today you'll be comforted
But maybe, just maybe, maybe it happened last week that some of you just allowed the words that were spoken to fall on deaf ears. I strongly believe that we are greatly responsible for what we hear from God's word. Yesterday, last week, and even today. Whether or not we follow through to be a doer and a hearer or just a hearer only. We are responsible. You are responsible. Maybe you got Duke to come so you can have some, you know, a free dinner. But you're still responsible. Maybe you came to fellowship. Maybe you came because you're really, I mean, you're just bowed down with stuff. You're responsible what you're going to hear today. You're responsible with what you already heard today, what you already experienced today. Now, I'm not sure how many of you it hurts you, or now it's setting in that you just missed out on worship. You missed out on praising him. You only went to maybe level 20 when you could have went all the way, but you only went level 20 because, well, I'm a little tired today. I'm a little aggravated today. You don't know how loud it was in the car on the way here. I'm a little aggravated today. But you missed out. But glad we could say, Lord, forgive me. My attitude was wrong. I'm thinking about other things. And God, you're the most important thing right now. And I need to focus on you. So God, help me. As the pastor was just saying earlier, man, God, I need to come prepared. So God, help me to come prepared the next time I come to your house. Isn't it so awesome that God just doesn't slap us around and say, what's wrong with you? Don't ever come back to my house again. Yeah. So many people, they want to make sure that they get right. They get right. They get all the things right. Then they come to God. When it's like God saying, come to me with all your mess ups and surrender and I'll clean you up and I'll help you. That's a great thing. I'll help you because you can't do it on your own. So I strongly believe that we are greatly responsible for what we hear from God's word. Are we going to be a doer and a hearer or just a hearer only? Now, how many of you know what a meme is? Anybody raise your hand if you know what a meme is? A lot of the adults are like, what is a meme? What's a meme? Well, this is something that the young people aren't going to realize or aren't going to know either. Because the word meme was coined or brought up or made up years before they were born. Meme is an element of a culture or system of behavior that may be considered to be passed from one individual to another by non-genetic means, especially imitation. All the students, all the young people go, oh, right. 1976 was when this word meme was coined by the British scientist Richard Dawkins. Now, I say this, and this is boring. Yes, I know, I'm sorry. But this is the definition of that word, meme. But how many of us use that word meme correctly? Because this is what Wikipedia says what meme means. A humorous image, video, piece of text, etc. that is copied, often with slight variations, and spread rapidly by the internet. Webster's Dictionary even says meme is an idea, behavior, style, or usage that spreads from one person to another in a culture. Today, the word meme has changed. Not sure who decided it. They were supposed to be changed, but it's changed. So here's an example. Joe, slide two. Forgot slide one, but slide one's all right. Slide two. You don't have it. Okay. Well, how many of you ever seen those memes where it says, keep calm, but pray harder. Keep calm, take me shopping. Keep calm, take a nap. See, those are just little images that have been sent all around social media. Now, the word keep, again, that I want to just focus on for a little bit, is that we've used this word keep. Now, I mentioned before that word meme was coined by Richard Dawkins back in 1976, but none of the young millennials know that. I didn't even know that. But it was coined at that time, but people don't use it that way. And so when Jesus says, keep my commandments, he's not using the word keep like some of you consider the word keep to be. For instance, how many of you have used the word phrases such as this, keep it up, keep off my lawn, keep rolling, When we use these terms, to, you know, to our children, to certain people, to our neighbors. But this word keep doesn't actually mean what Jesus is actually saying. Because he says, keep a guard, keep your eye on it, watch over it. Keep a guard so that you don't lose it. You don't forget it. So when he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Hold on to it and guard it that you'll never forget it. Hold on to it and guard it that you won't lose it. Hold on and guard it that your eyes are always on it. If your eyes are always on what Jesus said, guess what? Because you love him, because you know what he's done for you, you're going to do what he said. Why? Your eyes are on it. A lot of people get into car accidents because they're texting. Why? What's not on the road? Everybody say, eyes. Their eyes are not on the road. Now, people are getting injured because they're on their phone, they're on social media or texting or finding this Pokemon thing, and they're walking without looking. And I was going to show video, but I didn't want to make fun. I don't want anybody to get mad at me or think that I'm making fun of people getting hit by cars. But people are getting hit by cars or almost getting hit by buses because their eyes aren't on where they're going. It's on their phone. And they're looking at and they're texting. They're multitasking. They're buying something from eBay. They're texting their grandma. And they're also playing a game. And so they're doing all those three things while they're walking. And they're not keeping their eyes. But Jesus says, if you love me, you're going to keep. You're going to put your eye on my commandments. On my word. And this is important. Those images that we've seen and heard before about keep calm and keep moving on. Keep calm and take a nap. I like that one. Keep calm and keep your fingers crossed. Keep calm and stand still. See, those images that we've seen and heard, they only affect our physical life. They have no significance in eternity. But yet when Jesus says in this verse 15, he also says in verse 23, it says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. He says, my word. If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. It holds a heavier weight and instruction for us to follow because his instructions lead us to eternity with him. And if we guard it, if we keep our eyes, one day we'll get to be with him. It's not a lottery that he has that only a select few because he, you know, casts lots. It's those who surrender, those who follow Jesus and make Jesus their savior, make Jesus known with their life, make Jesus their number one priority, that I will serve you and you alone. Now listen, it's not by merely keeping the letter of the law or the word that will please God. You see, because in the New Testament, we find that there are religious people. They knew the law. They knew what God said. But yet they had no relationship. There was no love there. It was just, I know, so I'm going to do. I know, so I'm going to do. So Jesus uses this word, this phrase, if you love me, there's got to be a relationship there. I'm not sure about you, but if you love somebody, and I'm not saying you love Mexican food. I'm saying if you love somebody, there's a relationship there. Maybe some of you have a relationship with Mexican food. You're always there. But you love somebody. You're in a relationship. And because you love them, I can only assume that relationship is not shallow. Am I right? If you love them, that relationship is not shallow. That relationship goes deep. And because you love them, there's a desire for that relationship to go deeper. Does it not? When we read this, if you love me, keep my commandments, he's not just wanting us to follow him like a robot, but he's wanting us to keep his word and in a love relationship. See, because we can do what Jesus says without any love and just do it. Kind of like when you tell your kids to do something and they just do it because they know that, well, you know, I'm really not doing cleaning up my room because I love my parents. I'm cleaning up my room so that my allowance doesn't get docked. You hope that they would do it because out of respect and love, and you're the parent. And hopefully because of that love relationship you have with your children, they'll do those things that you ask of them to do. The rich young ruler. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. You see, because the rich young ruler, he told Jesus that he was doing certain things. But yet when Jesus posed this certain extra thing for him to do, it was hard. So Mark chapter 10, verse 17. It says, now as he was going, as Jesus was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before Jesus and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? This guy knew about eternal life. He knew that he had to inherit eternal life. So he asks him, how do I inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one. He's talking about God. That is God. You know the commandments. So Jesus starts telling him these commandments. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said to Jesus, teacher, all of these things I have kept from my youth. Hey, he must have been in kids' church, Royal Rangers, okay? He must have been doing that, following these things from his youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him, said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. Verse 22 is very sad. But he was sad at this word, at this instruction, at this word of Jesus. And he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Do you have great things that they're so more that they are more valuable than Jesus? I hope not. But this guy, he was doing the things that he was supposed to do. But he wanted to know how to have eternal life, how to inherit eternal life. Jesus told him what he was supposed to do. Oh, I've been doing that ever since I was a little kid. I've been doing that. Then Jesus says, sell all that you have. Give to the poor, take up your cross and follow me. That was too much. That was too much. So could he say, Jesus, I love you? No. He was following the commandments that were given by God. But could he say, Jesus, I love you? No. He went away sorrowful because the possessions that he had were more important than following Jesus. Don't let that be you today. The fact that, well, I'm doing this. I'm here in Sunday school. Hey, I got my Bible. It's got my name on it. You could do all those things. But if you don't have the relationship, what's the point of all those things? Because without that love relationship with Jesus, you're going to end up just like those religious people that Jesus said, you're white on the outside. You're clean, but you're full of dead men bones. You're like a white tomb. But inside, you're full of dead men's bones. Ouch. You may look good on the outside, but you're nasty and dirty on the inside. So Jesus just doesn't want us to follow these commandments. He wants us to have a loving relationship with him. Then in that loving relationship, we will keep our eye on his word. We will guard his word and not lose it. Hebrews 11:6. It says you can fall into the rut, or Hebrews 11:6 talks about faith. You can fall into the rut of following rules, but your heart is far from God. That is what could happen. There needs to be a spiritual relationship established upon faith in Jesus. This is what pleases the Father. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Who diligently seek him. If you're not in a relationship with God, if you're not in a relationship with Jesus, you're not going to diligently seek him. Religious people know how to follow God's word, but they weren't seeking him. They were just seeking to follow whatever was said so that other people would see what they do and that they would get the praises of men instead of getting the praises of God. So that can happen to you. So this is an encouragement to many of you or all of you today. Remain faithful in following his word. Become diligent in following him, in serving him. The very fact that you haven't given up serving him is a great plus. The very fact that you haven't thrown in that white towel to say, oh, you know what, forget about this stuff. I'm doing my own thing. The fact that you are still serving the Lord, you're still following the word, and you are diligently pursuing Jesus. That's a great thing. Continue to be diligent in seeking him, diligent in spending time with him, diligent in walking with him, diligent in guarding or keeping his word, keeping your eye on his word. Remember that rich young ruler, he fell because, and he walked away sorrowful because there was no love relationship. Ladies and gentlemen, we can do the things that the Bible is telling us to do. We can do those things. But if you don't have a love relationship, what good is it? What good is it? That's where we can become religious. Now listen, I just want to share with you, whenever you hear someone say Christianity, and I know people like to, you know, say that it's a religion, it's a relationship. Shannon said this last week. Very well, and I'm not going to try to add on to that, but it's a relationship with a heavenly Father who sees the sin and yet says, I'm still going to send my very best to die for you. That's great love. No greater love that we can find. And all he's wanting is for us to have and join in that love relationship with him. God is good. God is good. We have to understand that we just got to continue to do our very best. Keep going. We have a short video to share with you. How many of you have never seen that movie? Raise your hand. I highly encourage you. It's called Facing the Giants. It's a Christian movie, and they've made more. I guess I think it's the same creators that made War Room. If you've not seen it, I highly encourage you, go get it. It's probably on Netflix, maybe at the library because it was made a while ago. But a very, very great movie. And, you know, I like this part because I'm not trying to, you know, because it isn't spiritual that, you know, that God acts like that coach, you know. But I picture in my head Jesus, the Father, Holy Spirit, telling me to keep going. Be diligent. Continue. Keep your eye on my word, Rick. Don't forget my word, Rick. Continue to honor me with your words, Rick. Continue to honor me with your life, Rick. And so I'm not saying that God actually does that, but he wants us to continue to be diligent. To walk and move in the Spirit by his word reveals that your trust is in him, your obedience is in him, and your faith is in him. James chapter 2 verse 20 says, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. When we think about the commandments that Jesus gave, I mean, when I say commandments, I'm saying commands, because normally when someone says commandments, you think of the Ten Commandments. Maybe you think of the two greatest commandments that Jesus shared in John. But commandments or commands are it means an important rule given by God, an important rule given by someone to people in knowing how to behave, and something that is commanded. When Jesus gave us commands, not the 10, not the 2, when he gave us commands and instructions, it was for us to follow. They were commands for us to do. They were commands not to just suggest, should I do it on Tuesday and not on Wednesday, but it was for us to do every day. Which ones come to mind? Let me just ask this. Which commands or instructions that Jesus has given to us in the word comes to your mind? Just shout it out. Repent. Good. Love one another. Thank you. Let me get three more. Seek first the kingdom. Awesome. You didn't look at my notes, did you? All right. Anybody else? Let your light shine. One more. Ask, seek, knock. What'd you say? Have no other God before me. These are, would you say that these are commands? Or these are, if you feel like it, Bob, just whenever you want to. Seek first. Seek forth the kingdom. I mean, these are commands. These are instructions. You know, you don't have to repent, you know, just, hey, it's repent free Friday. You know, you don't have to, you know, these were instructions. These were commands. So don't just get caught up, because I was like, God, when Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then verse 3, if you love me, keep my word. it wasn't just the Ten Commandments. It wasn't just the two greatest commandments. And as I was talking to somebody, you know, the two greatest commandments, Jesus says, if you follow those, then everything follows. I said, yeah, but what? Let's go deeper. What does that mean? And then as some of you gave those answers, those were the commands and instructions that Jesus commanded you to follow. You're either going to choose to receive that command, to keep your eye on it, to guard it, that you won't lose it, or it's just going to go through one ear and out the other. That's the decision that you're going to have to take, or you're going to have to make. So when Jesus gave us these commands, it's for us to follow them. It's for our, not for our injury, but for our benefit and our safety. You don't suppose those were suggestions? Of course not. These were instructions. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20 is one of the great commands or instructions that I believe Jesus gave us, that none of us in this room, if Jesus is our Lord and Savior, none of us have any excuse to say, that's not for me. That's for you, Pastor, but that's not for me. Matthew 28, 18, it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe some things, all things, that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. This command to go is sending us, not just one person, but sending us empty-handed? No. Full of authority. Jesus says, I have this authority. And I think that it would be very irresponsible of Jesus. Of course, I'm not saying he is irresponsible. But I would say it would be very irresponsible of Jesus to tell us to go, make disciples, disciple them in the name of Jesus without all of the authority that God gave him. But that's not what Jesus is sending us with his authority, with his ability. That's why he said it is beneficial, it is expedient that I must go so that I can send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Teacher, the one who convicts you, the one who leads you in all truth, the one who reveals God's word, which is all truth, to you so that you can understand and you can begin to walk in the way that God wants you to walk. So God gives Jesus the authority. Jesus gives every believer the authority to go and make disciples. Now again, not trying to point the finger at anybody. I'll point the finger at me. In the commands that Jesus is giving, are we following this command? And if not, then today, before the service is over, let this prayer be yours. Lord Jesus, forgive me, but this command, this instruction to go and make disciples, go and make relationship with people that they'll get to know the Jesus that I serve. Go and share what Jesus has done in my life with the hopes that they too will have the relationship with Jesus that I have, that they will go and make disciples. So Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. What did Jesus command you? Some of you already said a couple of things that you were commanded by Jesus. All things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Be really sad if Jesus has all this authority and he's with us because he says he'll be with us always and he's walking with us and he's not giving us all authority, or he's not allowing us to have all the authority that he has. He just wants to see us fail, fall flat on our face. No, that's not the Jesus we serve. So because he has all authority, we have all this authority. The Spirit of God is in us and we can go. I mean, can you imagine God telling you to go do something that he knows outright you will never be able to do? So if he knows that we can do this because his Spirit is inside of us, he's commanding us and instructing us to go. Therefore, we must go. We're not empty-handed. We have the authority that God has given us. Therefore, we are able to go. I leave you with this. John chapter 13, verse 31. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's not it. I'm just repeating that. John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. But we're in John chapter 13, verse 31. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him.
If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Lord Jesus, I just pray, Father, I just pray, Lord Jesus, that you will help us to understand this phrase. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit's already speaking to us now of how we're supposed to respond, what we're supposed to do now. We've heard the word. We're responsible for hearing this word. And now it's our responsibility to do what is needed, to repent. If we're not doing what we're supposed to. Lord, to ask and to plead for help in those areas that we're not doing very well in. But God, one thing I'm so thankful, God, that you are willing to work with us, Lord, as we are diligent. Lord, as we are becoming more diligent. Lord, as we desire even today to be diligent, to follow you, to seek you. Lord, I pray that you would touch the hearts of the people here today. They are responsible now with your word. I pray, Lord, that all of us, Lord, would take this seriously, Lord, that we would come to you in prayer, in repentance, Lord, in calling out for your help, Lord, that we would be vessels of honor, that we would be servants of Christ, that we would be witnesses of Jesus Christ, where you will be glorified in everything that we say and do, God. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.